From the United Church of Christ of California, Missouri, this is a time of hope.
Blessed be the Holy Trinity, one God, full of compassion and mercy, abounding in steadfast love.
Amen.
We are saved by grace.
Not by your
works. We stand on faith.
Not on fear.
Christ is our Savior. Let us worship the God of all grace. Join in the prayer of the day for this Reformation Sunday. Almighty God, gracious Lord, pour out your Holy Spirit upon your faithful people. Keep them steadfast in your word. Protect and comfort them in all temptations. Defend them against all enemies. And bestow on the church your saving peace. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.
Our children's time this morning is by our senior high puppeteers.
Good morning. Thank you for being here today. Do you know anything from heart? That means you haven't memorized.
I know the song we just sang, Jesus Loves Me. I know the Lord's Prayer. I know John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only son in our Bible text today.
Jeremiah tells us that God says, I will put my law within them, and I will write it on their hearts, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people.
What do you think it means to have something written on your heart?
I think it means that because God gave us love, we need to show it to other people, being kind to others and ourselves.
It means reading or hearing the Bible and learning some Bible verses or songs that tell us that God loves us.
For God so loved the world.
Bow your heads for prayer. God, help us to know you, to know that you love us, no matter who we are. We are always yours. In Jesus' name, amen.
Our anthem, I Want to Walk, is by our kids' choir, God's Singers, directed by Connie Bestian.
If I walk in Jesus'
Testament and Epistle lessons are read by Judy Berger, followed by the gospel reading and his sermon by Pastor Maul.
The first scripture reading is from Jeremiah 31:31-34. Behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and the house of Judah, not like the covenant which I made with their fathers when I took them by hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt. My covenant they broke, though I was their husband, says the Lord. But this is a covenant which I will make with the house of Israel after those days, says the Lord. I will put my law upon their hearts, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. And no longer shall each man teach his neighbor and his brother, saying, Know the Lord, for they shall all know me, from the least of them to the greatest, says the Lord. For I will forgive their iniquity, and I will remember their sin no more. Here ends the first reading. The second reading comes from Romans, the third chapter, verses 19 to 28. Now we know that whatever the law says, it speaks to those who are under the law, so that every mouth may be stopped and the whole world may be held accountable to God. For no human being will be justified in his sight by works of the law, since through the law comes knowledge of sin. But now the righteousness of God has been manifested apart from the law. Although the law and the prophets bear witness to that, the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ for all who believe. For there is no distinction, since all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. They are justified by his grace as a gift through the redemption which is in Christ Jesus, whom God put forward as an expiation by his blood to be received by faith. This was to show God's righteousness, because in his divine forbearance he has passed over former sins. It was to prove at the present time that he himself is righteous, and that he justifies him who has faith in Jesus. Then what becomes of our boasting? It is excluded. On what principle? On the principle of works. No, but on the principle of faith. For we hold that a man is justified by faith apart from the works of the law. Or is God the only God of the Jews only? Here ends the second reading.
The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 8th chapter. Then Jesus said to the Jews who had believed in him, If you continue in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free. And they answered him, We are descendants of Abraham and have never been slaves to anyone. What do you mean by saying you will be made free? Jesus answered them, Very truly I tell you, everyone who commits sin is a slave to sin, and the slave does not have a permanent place in the household. The Son has a place there forever. So if the Son makes you free, you will be free indeed. Well, dear friends in Christ, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. We begin today with a poem by Garrison Keillor of old Prairie Home Companion days and Lake Wobegon days. A number of you might remember. And this poem is entitled, The Old Shower Stall. On these cold October mornings when the trees are going bare and the smells of frost and fruit and wood smoke linger in the air, when my skin warms to the chill and my blood and flesh and bone are touched by old sweet memories of autumns I have known, the excitement of the senses waking up in the cold dim dawn to the smell of woolen blanket and downstairs the coffee's on. And my mother's voice much louder in her third and final call. And the tingling of the skin when I jumped out and down the hall and ran into the bathroom across the cold wood floors. And the shrinking of the loins when I stood and dropped my drawers. And reached and turned the faucet on and took a bar of soap and got into the shower full of fear and shame and hope. It was an old, old shower that my father had hooked up, a nozzle on a long lead pipe that rose above the tub like a post at executions where you're tied up with a knot naked, with your eyes shut, waiting for that final shot. My father was no plumber. He built a shower from plans that he saw in a magazine, perhaps Modern Romance. For the shower was so sensitive and moody, if someone downstairs turned on a faucet before the shower was done, even for a second, suddenly the gentle flow of a comforting warm water turned frigidissimo. And the victim stood there frozen, helpless, and surprised by the sudden loss of vision as his eyeballs crystallized. And the pain throughout the body from the frostbite in the blood, and his skin turned white and rigid, and his heart stopped with a thud. But to freeze a body is gentle compared to when you boil it, which happens in the shower if someone flushed a toilet. It came without warning to, as you sang la la and scrubbed. No rumble in the pipes said the volcano would erupt. It just blew up in your face or from behind. The lava rose and hit your bending over to wash between your toes. And you sprang up in great agony and yelled and tried to run and slipped and fell down in a heap, medium, well done. Another Christian martyr in the flames trying to pray. Oh Lord, forgive that person, but please not right away. Yes, I had some spiritual moments in the shower of my youth, moments when the waters seemed to thunder down with truth upon my naked body when I had a carnal thought and enjoyed and dwelled upon it, though I know I should not. But allowed myself to daydream in the regions of desire. Did the Lord reach out and flush to strike me down with liquid fire? I used to think he did, but now I'm older, and I see the shower was a lesson to our sweet mortality. To feel how fine, how fragile in this trembling naked form, how delicious in the water and how briefly it stays warm, and how it may turn painful suddenly without a word, and how though it seemed unfair, this pain can be endured. And how the joyful moments seem more sweet as they go by because you know the shower has a limited supply. I'm out of that old bathroom now. Since then, I've gotten wet in a lot of shower systems where the temperature is set by a small inboard computers that keep it warm nonstop and regulate the volume and the shape of every drop. In exact configuration from a trickle to barrage, steady flow or in pulsations for a thundering massage. With bath oil, beads, and vitamins mixed in, emulsified from the shower heads above you and below and to the side. Six to make the shower, one to make a gentle mist. And a tape deck in the ceiling playing Chopin or perhaps Franz Liszt. And a light to make a rainbow where the shower is a prism. And all of it designed to soak out Calvinism. And the sun lamps in the ceiling and the coil in the floor make precision comfort. And you know there's always more hot water where this came from, some endless reservoir that the universe has guaranteed to you its brightest star. But as I stand in absolute luxurious delight and utter satisfaction, I know it is not right. You know it too, my friend. And so tomorrow when you rise and stand under your shower and you acclimatize, reach for the knob marked H and turn it off and stand in prayer. Oh Lord, help me appreciate what soon will not be there. And may I be more thankful, more wakeful unto thee, and more aware of sinful pride and my own complacency. And less inclined to take for granted the gifts I get from you. I thank you now for everyone in praise and honor who, and standing in your creation, with proper reverent awe, and look upon these wonders with your joyful spirit, ha. And finally, in conclusion, may I just say amen. And open your eyes, turn on the warp, and now be clean again. This poem may bring back some memories for some of you, but it also leads us to the grace of God. At the heart of the Reformation was the gospel, The good news that by grace through faith we are set free. Grace is a gift of God being made clean, like the new freedom we have from always having a warm shower. In the gospel, we find two big words, slavery and freedom. And these are images, there are images that these words bring to us. You know, slavery is a binding, a limiting, a bondage, a shackled. And freedom is new life, like a bounding deer in an open field, like we saw this morning as we came to early church at Salem. When we see the word freedom all through our readings for today. In the first reading, the big word is covenant. It is new covenant, and God does all the giving. I will be their God, and they shall be my people. It is the gift of forgiveness written on their hearts. It is God who will forgive their iniquities and sins. For as it says, I will forgive their iniquity and remember their sin no more, is the way it was said in Jeremiah. No more. A young man borrowed a family car without permission, often not a good thing to do because he knew he could have it home safely in the garage before father would get there and find out. But he had not counted on getting rear-ended at the second intersection we drove through, and there was no way to conceal the damage. And so he came home and he parked the car in the garage and he closed the garage door, and then he spent an agonizing evening over how to deal with his father when he arrived home. Well, when Dad walked in, the young man flashed a look of terror, and he told his father everything, complete with profuse apology. I'm sorry, Dad. And his father walked with the son out to the garage, and they looked hard and long. And silently, they looked at the damage. And then father said, insurance will cover it. It would not have covered the broken trust between you and me, however. But fortunately, your apology has taken care of that. Can you ever forgive me, Dad? I have already. You learned your lesson. Let's forget about it. A week later, the son was still guilt-driven, and he came to the father and said, Dad, in case they raise our insurance rates because of the accident, I'm willing to earn the money to pay the difference in the premiums. And his father did not even look up from his newspaper, and he just said simply, what accident? Now we remember the words of the first reading. I will remember their sins no more. In the second reading, the big words are justify and righteousness. Justify in computer language is when you push a button and both the left and the right columns are equally straight. And they are in a right relationship then with that printed page. And so we also wish to be in a right relationship with God, to be declared not guilty, and all the charges removed from our record. Legally, it is as if a person has never been accused if that happens. And this is because of God's righteousness. This righteousness comes in his sacrifice, his rightness, his righteousness offered to us. Grace is a gift offered. Faith in our empty hands that receive that gift. And in faith, we come and put ourselves in the path of grace. This is why people during the Reformation, like Luther and Calvin, realized that we are delivered from sin in thy righteousness, not my righteousness. And when we realize this, then we can accept God's grace as a gift. In Rock of Ages, we sing, you know, nothing in my hand I bring, simply to the cross I cling. The gospel for today continues to build on this. We already mentioned those two words from the gospel, slavery and freedom. And what is it that makes us free? It says here it is the truth. Jesus himself is the truth that makes us free. Frees us from the prisons we constructed around our lives and tears them apart stone by stone. Frees us from the slavery that keeps us from being the person that God created each of us to be. frees us to be all that God meant us to be, frees us from the distorted person that we may see ourselves to be. Perhaps at some time you have been to an amusement park where they have one of these house of mirrors. And you go into that house and it humorously distorts our image. And in one mirror it makes us look tall like a giraffe. And the next one will look short and squatty and fat. And the next one we might be all face and all hands. See, suppose that we really looked like that. The horrible part is that in a sense we do. But on the inside, because of our lost image of God, we are created in the image of God and we are spoiled beyond recognition. But in Christ, the image of God is being restored. Being restored. He supplies us with a new mirror in which to view ourselves. And that mirror is the gospel. So remember today, as the gospel says, if the Son makes you free, you will be free indeed. Amen. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. Shall we rise and confess our faith, the Apostles' Creed? I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. And in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he arose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the one holy universal Christian church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Dear God, on this Reformation Sunday, we thank you for those persons who have poured your spirit, you have poured your spirit into, that they set about reforming your church. We thank you that you are still at work in the life of the church, reforming us, shaping us, and remaking us into your image. One of the ways we reflect on your image, Lord, is how we care for one another with love and care and prayer. We pray for those who are in the hospitals today, including Doug Cantrell. We pray for those at home with illnesses and recovering from treatments or surgeries. We pray for those in nursing homes, with those who are homebound. We pray for their families during these times. We pray for those who are facing death. We pray for those who have died and for those who are grieving. We remember today the people and families of the synagogue in Pittsburgh whose service was interrupted by the shooter. We pray for the doctors and nurses and healthcare workers and caretakers. Lord, may we reflect your image in our love and care and prayer that we put into action for these, your children. We reflect your image on how we love and care and pray for the world. We pray for those around the world who are Christians facing imprisonment or martyrdom. We pray for those whose countries are torn by war. We pray for those living in poverty. We pray for those living in starvation. We pray for those who are being used in slave labor and child labor. We pray for those who have been affected by disasters. We pray for the boy missing in Jefferson City. We pray for those in disaster areas who face outbreaks of disease. Lord, may we put our actions of love and care and prayer for the world. Lord, we pray for your church, that we be a beacon of hope and grace and love and light in this world. May our open doors reflect what with your open arms to all. May our arms and hands reaching out to those in need reflect your love for all. May our forgiveness of one another reflect your forgiveness for all. Gather these concerns and all who are in need into your abundant care, O God. Remembering your promise of mercy through Christ our Lord, in whose name we pray. Amen. In the words of Jeremiah, it says, God will write a new covenant on your hearts, and God will be our God, and we will be God's people. No longer shall we teach one another or say to each other, know the Lord, for we shall all know God. And in the name of our God, the source of life, the word of truth, and the spirit of love, go forth. Amen.
Glad you joined us in this time of hope. If you don't have a church home in this area, please come and grow with us at the United Church of Christ of California, Missouri. Sunday school starts at 9:30 this morning with church following at 10:30. Until we meet again, may God bless and keep you.